out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 16th of October, 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I've got a particularly shocking news story for us today, which really, it gives us an example of what life is like where you have maximum diversity, where you have the majority of white people replaced with non-whites. The society, or what's left of society, is breaking down into savagery. And this is in South America, but it's the same in areas of Brazil, other areas in South America where you've got majority non-whites. South Africa just happens to have the most violence, but the same similar sort of crimes happen in all areas where you have majority blacks. This one concerns gang rape. And of course, we heard just yesterday about a gang rape that took place in London with Somalians. And just incidentally on that line about Somalia and gang rape, apparently, they were going to make a law over there to ban rape and make raping against the law. And that law was overturned by Islamic scholars because to make a law against rape was un-Islamic. But it's not just un-Islamic. It goes against Negro mating rituals. Negro mating rituals don't include asking permission or anything like that. You just take what you want. That's the way Negro life has been for millennia. It's the same as the animal world. The animals don't bother asking permission, do they? And neither do the Negroes. And they certainly don't bother asking permission in South Africa, which is the rape capital of the world, swiftly being followed by Sweden. And of course, it's usually white victims. It's always the white victims. And that's the ones that I'm mainly concerned about. I mean, you hear about these crimes all the time, black on black crimes, black on black murder, black on black rape, robbery. That's just the way that they are. But we don't have to put up with that in our countries. And if we didn't have them in our countries, we wouldn't have to put up with it. We wouldn't have these horrific crimes that went on. We wouldn't have these victims. This young girl that I'm going to talk about now, she would still be alive if South Africa was still a white state. A brilliant student was kidnapped, gang raped, and murdered after giving a pal a lift home to stop robbers from stealing his skateboard, a court in South Africa heard. So this is happening. This happened in a place where people would feel safe skateboarding. And yet this gang rape was able to occur with the kidnapping in an area that kids just normally skateboard in. Hannah Cornelius, 21, pulled up outside the flat of fellow student Cheslin Marsh, 22, at midnight when a group of four men rushed her car. Now, another side to this is the fact that her fellow student friend, he was actually black. So the chances are that he knew these black robbers that were hanging around outside there, but it doesn't say any more than that. But the fact is, if she hadn't been going to pick up a black friend, then she wouldn't have been in an area that had black robbers in it, would she? They put a screwdriver to her chest through the open window and opened the passenger door and put a knife to the back of Mr. Marsh and threatened to kill him. The Western Cape High Court in Cape Town heard one of the gang shouted at him, "Sit still, or she dies." Mr. Marsh was robbed of cash and his phone and locked in the car boot, and then the four men drove to a drug dealer's home to buy drugs and smoked crystal meth. Magistrate's daughter Hannah was wedged between two of the four men in the back seat of the Volkswagen Golf, which her grandmother had given to her as a birthday present. They then drove out of the upmarket wine-producing town of Stellenbosch near Cape Town in Hannah's car, and it later pulled over and they took Mr. Marsh into the bushes. Three men made him lay his head on a rock on the ground and then battered his skull with house bricks until they thought he was dead. They then left his blood-soaked body. And this is typical Negro behaviour. Just batter someone to death for the sake of battering them to death. What are we going to do with this person that we kidnapped? I know, we'll just kill him. That's how cheap life is to Negroes. That afternoon, Marsh recovered consciousness and staggered to a nearby home, suffering severe head injuries and a broken arm to raise the alarm about Hannah. Unbeknownst to him, her body had been found earlier, several miles away, dumped by the roadside, and a huge police search was already underway for him and the gang. She had been dragged into bushes at a vineyard and gang-raped by three of the quote-unquote men, and then her skull was crushed with a large rock, and she was stabbed in the neck. And this shows you that this is more than just a fulfillment of a sexual urge. This is vindictive viciousness. This is hatred that blacks have against white people. I mean, they wanted to kill her. There was no need to stab her in the neck as well as crush her skull with a large rock. And they could have given her an overdose of drugs. They could have done all sorts of ways of killing this girl that wouldn't have been so horrific. But they chose to do it in a horrific way because they hate whites. And the more horrific they can be, the better. And this is what we've all got coming. This is what we've got coming in a country that becomes majority black. We are already seeing horrific crimes that are taking place in our multicultural cities. This is what it's down to. It's down to the non-white races. I've said this so many times. They have to be viewed as a group. Their actions have to be viewed as a group. When you see the negative actions that they cause, you cannot say, oh, well, that we'll just look at that as an individual. And that could be anybody that carried out that crime, because it's not anybody that would carry out that crime. It's Negroes that carried out that crime. And if they weren't there, that crime wouldn't have taken place. If they weren't there, a white man, if these Negroes hadn't been there at this time, there wouldn't have been a gang of four white men that grabbed this girl, gang raped her and crushed her head. That just doesn't occur. That doesn't happen. This is typical behaviour of Negroes, and it's fairly typical behaviour of non-whites as well. You will hear of Muslims beheading people and stoning people to death, and this is basically they stoned her to death, but with a huge rock. It's the same thing. She had been dragged into the bushes at a vineyard and gang-raped by three of the men, and then her skull was crushed with a large rock and she was stabbed in the neck. Hannah was described as a brilliant student and the daughter of Magistrate Willem Cornelius and his lawyer wife Anna, 56, who tragically drowned 10 months after her murder. Her poor father, think of what he's having to go through. Victim Hannah was a straight A's student and was in her second year at Stellenbosch University, studying for a BA in humanities when she was gang-raped and murdered. So she was studying the humanities. She'd been taught that Negroes were the same as whites. We are all equal. And if we're just nice to these people, we'll be absolutely fine. And the only reason why they commit all these crimes is because they're persecuted by us. So she's gone out of her way to find herself a black friend. And this is what's happened to her. And her parents, he's a magistrate. So he obviously goes along with the politically correct narrative, or he wouldn't be in that position. He wouldn't be a white judge over there if he was a racist. So he's obviously bought into the liberal narrative. He's taught her to be liberal. She's decided that she wants to study the humanities, and this is where she's ended up. She's ended up gang raped and murdered by the very people that she was probably doing her, she was doing her best to be non-racist to. Four men, Vernon Whit Bowie, 33, Geraldo Parsons, 27, Nashville Julius, 29, and Eben Van Nyberg, 28, all black, face a string of charges, including murder, kidnap, robbery, and rape. Distraught fellow student Cheslin Marsh, that's the black guy that she was picking up, broke down in tears repeatedly as he told how they were hijacked and he was locked in the boot while Hannah was kept inside the car. He said they had been out for a few drinks and to a dance and said he was going to use his skateboard to get home, but Hannah insisted on driving him in case he was robbed. And this is just like anywhere in London, really, isn't it? You're out in London at night now. The chances are that you're going to get robbed. Only 5% of all cases of crime now in Britain are investigated. 5%. And there's not very much chance of them actually getting the criminals for that. But 100% of hate crimes are investigated and prosecuted. And just at the moment, they've got a lot on in the news about how there's been a big increase in hate crime and they want to expand it to include misogyny as well. This is what they're concentrating on now. They're concentrating on criticism of our enemies. I mean, you cannot say that these Negroes that did this to this white girl are anything but our enemies. They're trying to say that criticism of our enemies for doing this to us, that's a crime. Somehow that's a crime to look at this and think that it's wrong and that there was a racial motive to it and that this is happening in white countries where Negroes have been imported. That's a hate crime. It's hateful to say that. We're supposed to just ignore this and just pretend that this is the sort of thing that white people do, which it isn't. Mr. Marsh said that when they pulled up, the gang pounced, threatening to stab Hannah to death with a sharpened screwdriver and him to death with a knife placed at his back. Well, how did they get in the car? Why didn't she just drive off? I don't really understand how this happened without some knowledge that this black skateboarder actually had of this. If she was picking him up, he must have been sit outside. He must have known that they were there. Did he not know that there were these Negroes there? Was he not aware of them? He described how they were driven to a suburb of Cape Town called Krafontein, 11 miles from where they were hijacked in Stellenbosch, and he was pulled from the car boot. He said, I lay down on the ground as they told me and put my head on a rock. I closed my eyes and prayed. The two men were standing over me with bricks in their hands. I lost consciousness, and when I awoke, I was in horrible pain, everywhere pain. When I last heard Hannah talking, her voice was very soft, and I could tell she was scared. This battering out his brains. And this is the thing with the Negro. If they think, well, we've broken the law, we've robbed some money, well, we might as well break all the other laws as well, then, if we've broken one law. That's the logic that they have. There's a Louis Theroux documentary, quite some years old, where he goes to South Africa. It's very illuminating the way that the Negro criminals are that he speaks to. And that is their logic. Well, we might as well, if we're going to break the law, we might as well break every law. We are evil, and we're going to be as evil as we can be. I mean, it's not like these Negroes don't tell us the way that they think and why they do these things. It's just that we ignore them and we say things like, well, it must be down to poverty. It must be down to the fact that they don't have any father figures, single parents. They don't have a job. We make all these excuses and they tell us they just do it because, well, why not? Hey, there was a black rapist in court asked why he raped a white girl. Well, why not? He said, why not? What deterrent is there? The way that they look at women is completely different to us. They don't look at them and feel protective towards them. They look at them as just something to rape. if there's no man around. And the other men involved just get, that's just it. They get involved. They don't say, well, this is wrong. This girl obviously isn't consenting. They will all join in. And in Islam, they won't just join in. There will be men around, other Muslim men around, that will protect the rape while it's going on. They will protect what's going on so that any white men that are around can't see what's going on, and they will keep white men away from it so that the Muslims can rape the white girl within a circle of them. And it's called Tarush, and it was first exposed in Tahrir Square during the Arab Spring, that this is what was going on. And it happened when white journalists went there, white journalist females went there to report on what was happening, and they found themselves surrounded by Muslim men groping them, abusing them, sexually abusing them, in some cases raping them. And they would scream for help, and they would think, oh, thank God, someone's coming to help. And they wouldn't help. They would join in. Again, with another report we had recently that I covered here at the Daily Nationalist, two brothers that were involved in a rape of a child that they were supposed to be looking after. You imagine, you're being attacked, and suddenly you see someone that's got nothing to do with the people that are attacking you, and you think, wow, thank God for that. Here comes my rescuer. And the complete stranger just joins in. He joins in because he's non-white. And that's what they will do when they get a chance to. That's what they will do. We have to wake up to this. It's no good saying, well, there are a few good ones. There are some doctors. There are some nurses. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many good ones there are. The fact of the matter is that there's a risk of this happening. Wherever you have them, there is a risk of this happening to white women. There's a risk of crimes happening to white people, particularly violent, horrific crimes, wherever you have Negroes living. It just seems like common sense to me. It's like if you have a snake's nest outside, there's a risk that you're going to get bitten by them. Not every snake is going to bite you, but there's a risk that you are going to get bitten by them. It would be far better to get rid of that snake's nest. Put it somewhere else. Put it away from human habitation. And the Negroes were away from human habitation. They were all the way over on another continent. They were all the way over in Africa. And there was no way they could even get here without us giving them marine technology, teaching them how to build boats. They didn't even have seaworthy boats. Everything that the Negro has come from the white man. You know, the only way he is able to get into white countries is due to traitors letting him in, these traitors that are in power. And they will try and say that, oh, the Daily Nationalist is racist and we're blaming the Negroes and the immigrants for all the crime. Well, no, we are blaming the traitors in power that let the Negroes in. It's the traitors in the government that did this. The Negro just does what the Negro does. It's like complaining that a bear mauled somebody, or like complaining that a lion killed somebody. It's just in their nature to do these things. It's in the Negro nature to gang rape and murder. It's in their nature to eat one another. They're cannibals. That's part of their diet. Their regular diet is to eat human beings. And yet we're told they're the same as us. They can't even have the same digestive systems as us if that's a part of their staple diet, which it always has been. And carrion, they can eat carrion. If we were to try eating carrion, that would kill us. You know, dead bodies, dead rotting bodies, dead rotting flesh that they will just tear off and eat raw. I've seen them doing it. There's a video on Bill Fink's site, Negroes Up Close and in the Wild. And you can see them engaging in cannibalism and horrific treatment of animals. And we're told, oh yes, they're just the same as us. I'm not blaming them for being the way they are. They just are. And I think people are stupid for trying to change them, for believing that we can change them. The Egyptians couldn't change them. The Egyptians put a big sign up. Any unowned Negroes that come past this point will be executed. The Greeks didn't try to civilize them. It's only the crazy white European that has tried to civilize them, because he's fallen for all this equality nonsense that the Jews brought us. I mean, this could never have happened in South Africa if they kept up apartheid. But the silly thing that they did in South Africa is that they allowed the Negroes in and used them as labor, as Adolf Hitler described in Mein Kampf. That's been the downfall of every white empire. They bring in the lower races, use them for human resources, use them on these building projects. And gradually, over time, they say, well, instead of having to stay outside the city gates, we'll let you stay inside the city. And eventually, they're given the same civil rights as the white people. Eventually, they end up interbreeding with them. And before the interbreeding even takes place, the effect of living with these other races that have no concept of the rule of law and no concept of sin and have no shame, just by living alongside them, it encourages the white man to behave in the same way. And of course, now we also have white gangs in the cities and white muggers and white drug dealers. We would have none of them if there were no blacks in those cities. We never had them 100 years ago, before we had multiculturalism and diversity. We never had any of these horrible things that are going on in our cities. They just didn't occur. The only place you would hear about things like that happening were out in the wilds of Africa. What you do when you bring the Africans out of Africa and into Europe, you turn Europe into Africa. You can't turn the African into a European. Getting back to the story here. He managed to stagger to a nearby house covered in blood and raised the alarm. Mr. Marsh was so traumatized after this event that he never returned to his studies and is now deaf in one ear as a result of his injuries, and vivid scars could be seen on his head as he gave evidence. Well, this is just a risk that Negroes take of being among other Negroes. He's lucky to be alive, really. He's lucky that there is a white man's court that he can go to try and have his attackers seen to try and gain justice. Of course, in his mind, it would be revenge that he's after. He's after revenge, not justice. There's no tradition of justice or the rule of law in Africa. There's just revenge. And revenge is something about the heat of the moment as well. I'm not sure how the Negroes hold grudges. I suspect that there is a brief flurry of emotion and a lack of self-control, and an attack would take place. But I dare say after a couple of days, that anger would subside in the Negro. I don't think they're probably capable of holding on to grudges. It's all about what happens in the spur of the moment with them. So the sense of justice, why would they require justice if the event is over and done with, if it's already happened to them? That's the logic that they have. One of the men accused of the murder of Hannah had his confession made the day after his arrest, read to the court, and said the gang went into town to see what they could get. So this was just a fishing expedition, really. They just went into the town to see what would happen. And obviously what happened wasn't something that was out of the blue. This wasn't something that was shocking to them. This is what goes on. I mean, we're lucky. Well, the only reason we're really hearing about this is because it was a magistrate's daughter. How many black girls have they done this to? Have they picked up and gang raped? How many white girls that don't have magistrates for a father had they done this to and not been prosecuted? Most of the time, as we say over here in Britain, only 5% of crimes are investigated. How many crimes do you think are investigated in South Africa under a black administration? Probably only about 1%. And if it's Negroes that are guilty, they're just not going to go after them, are they? They already massage the figures and pretend that there isn't murders of whites on these farm murders. This gang here, this black gang that did this, surely they've done this to other people. This wasn't the first time. I mean, nobody in this confession, he doesn't say, oh, this is the first time. Oh, this was shocking that this happened. He says they went into town to see what they could get. Whitbooi alleged that the other three took Mr. Marsh out of the boot while he had a smoke and into the bushes. And he said that they told him they had tied him up and left him to be found. Surely the guy must have screamed when he had his head bashed in with bricks. He said he was only after the money and said that after Mr. Marsh was left for dead, the gang drove off and later took Hannah into the bushes, but he denied any part in her rape and murder. Whitbooi said that three others returned from the bushes after raping Hannah and said, while we were driving, Parsons said I had missed out on having had sex with her. See, there you go. They don't see a difference between rape and sex. It's the same thing to them. Whether the woman consents or whether she doesn't consent, it's exactly the same thing to the Negro. It doesn't matter if they don't consent. It's all about what the Negro wants, what he can take. As it says, they went into town to see what they could get. They went into town to see what they could take, effectively, what they could take from somebody else. That's the way Africa works. He said they had tied the girl up and that the workers would find her tomorrow, he said. The gang, then high on drugs, went on a robbery spree in the hijacked car, robbing at least three women before the stolen car was spotted and a high-speed police chase began. Again, you can see this logic of theirs. Well, we've already committed one crime. Let's just continue. Let's carry on. Let's carry on with it with a string of crimes. Three were arrested after dumping the car and fleeing, and the fourth was arrested later. The latest crime figures in South Africa revealed that 56 people are murdered every day and that 110 people are raped a day and that there are 45 carjackings a day. And don't forget, as I say, these figures have been massaged. It's likely to be 10 times that, 10 times that figure. It's just a rape and murder capital of the world. But if you think about the animal world, would you call it rape and murder? Animals that are having sex with one another and killing one another and eating one another? It's only really murder and rape when it happens to white people. This is the natural behaviour of Negroes to do that to one another. It's only unnatural for the white man to be behaving like this. There is no history whatsoever of Negroes ever coming across with the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done to yourself. There's no history of any trials, no history of judges, no history of any law in Africa. Murder and rape, they may be crimes to us because we have a conscience and we have a sense of shame. The Negro doesn't have a sense of shame. That's why the Negroes never wore clothes. They never had a sense of shame. I mean, that proves it, the fact that they never wore clothes. The only reason why they wear them now is to protect the white man's modesty. It doesn't come naturally to them. It's just that they want to look like white people. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast today. I know it's been a bit of a nasty subject, but it has to be talked about because this is what is in store for all white countries once they become diversified. Once we have maximum diversity, this is going to be going on everywhere, and there aren't going to be any people that are prosecuted for it. It will be just as corrupt as South Africa. So we have to do what we can to prevent that, by waking people up to it, by pointing out these news stories when they appear. And that one was actually from the Daily Mail. Okay, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.